When we were first married, we had a young couple that moved in an apartment right next door to us, and this guy was he was going to commercial art school, and he was a pretty decent artist, you know. And you know, I've always dabbled around a little bit in art, but I do it very sporadically, you know. And I have to really kind of, every once in a while, I'll get in a kick where I'll start drawing or I'll do something, and then I don't do it for maybe years after that. But anyway, he was showing me, he had some projects that he did, and he showed me this drawing that he made of this, like a layout of a room, you know. And he had like clear plastic laying over it, and it looked like a photograph. It didn't even look like it was something that somebody had drawn. It actually looked like a photograph. It was that good, you know. And I thought, wow, that's, I told him, I said, man, that's terrific. And then he had some modeling clay, and he was making something. And I said, I don't do that good with clay, you know, or something along those lines. And he said, you know, said something. And I said, you know, I said, I've always kind of wanted to try to do some sculpting with clay. I said, but I never have done it. And he said, well, here, he says, I'll give you this. And he gave me some self-hardening clay, you know. So I went home and went back across the hall, and I started playing around with that clay. And I started sculpting a head of Jesus. And it was about that tall, you know, just the head, and maybe about that wide. And I put a bolt in the back of it as I was sculpting it. And I had a part of an old drag racing trophy that I had, and it was marble, and I was going to put the bolt through the hole in it and screw it to it, and then it would be mounted where you could mount it on a wall or whatever. Well, anyway, I sculpted this head of Jesus, and I spray painted it after it dried. I spray painted it white, then I spray painted it black, and then I spray painted it with gold, you know, like gold highlights. And I had made a crown on his head, you know, of thorns, and I had taken toothpicks and stuck into the crown, you know. And anyway, I got this thing done after a while, and I hung it up on the wall. And Mark came over. His name was Mark, was same as my son's. His name was Mark, and Mark came over one time, and he said, "Where did you buy that sculpture from?" I said, "What are you talking about?" He said, "That sculpture over on the wall." I said, "I didn't buy that." He said, "Well, where'd you get that?" I said, "I sculpted it." He said, "You didn't sculpt that." I said, "Yeah." I said, "Yes, I did." He said, "Well, that's pretty daggone good." I said, "I sculpted it." And he said, "Well," he said, "you did pretty good." And I said, "Well," and that was the only time I ever tried to sculpt anything in clay. And I had it for quite a few years, and I had it hanging on the wall. And you know how them old bandline shirts were, you know, stretchy shirts? Well, I was putting on a bandline shirt, and I was standing right next to that wall one day, and my bandline shirt got hung up in the thorn, and it pulled it off the wall and broke it. Well, that was okay, you know, because I was kind of admiring it, thinking, boy, you did a pretty good job. And I think the Lord's telling me, hey, you can't have no idols in front of me. That isn't me. That's just something you sculpted. And it broke, you know. But what I was thinking there is when Mike was talking about that with, you know, we're not done yet. Well, we aren't done. But God is, because he knows how to remove everything that doesn't look like him. And he's in the process of doing that. Anyway, so I'm going to speak to you a little bit about trusting in the Lord today, and a little bit about praising the Lord today. I've not got a whole lot of scriptures here. I'm not going to talk to you a real long time today. And that way we can go back and eat, and you can fellowship back there and enjoy each other's company. But my first scripture here is Psalm 89, 15 through 18. And it reads like this, and I'm going to pause for a word of prayer before I get into it. Father, in the name of Jesus, you just be lifted and magnified in this word. Lord, your words are spiritual and they're life, and my words are just words. But I ask you to just pour yourself through me today. Let your spirit just reach out and touch people's lives. And I'll be most careful to give you all the praise, all the glory, and all the honor, because you alone are worthy of it all. And I just praise you today. Amen. David, this is the psalm. You know, David wrote one of these, most of these psalms. And this psalm says, starting with verse 15, 89:15, it said, "Blessed is the people that know the joyful sound. They shall walk, O Lord, in the light of that countenance," you know. And you know, God wants us to make a joyful sound unto Him. And He wants us to be a joyful sound in the earth out there today. You know, you hear a lot of people moaning and groaning and woe is me and everything else. And I know right now it's kind of been a kind of a troubled time. Inflation's going kind of high and, you know, the dollar ain't going as far as it used to go in your life and in my life too. And I know every time I go fill up some cars, I think, whoa. I filled up my truck yesterday and it had 3/4 of a tank in it, I think, when I filled it up. And I filled it up the rest of the way, and I think it was $30-something to fill it up. I got a big tank in my truck, you know. And I filled up the cars, and the cars are about $50 when I fill them up or so, you know. And it kind of pinches your pocketbook a little bit, you know. But anyway, we need to not let these things keep us from praising the Lord. And we need to have that joyful attitude. You know, one time years ago, we were singing that song, "The Joy of the Lord is My Strength." And you know, in that song, you go, ha, 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 ha. You start laughing, you know. And it makes you smile because I don't know if you know it, Frankie, or not. But you sing, "The joy of the Lord is my strength. The joy of my Lord is my strength." And then there's a portion in that song where you start laughing. And you go, ha, 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 right along with the music, you know. And it does make you smile every time you sing that song. But, you know, that is the truth. And when I was thinking about that, the joy of the Lord, you know, they used to have a dish detergent called Joy. And Joy dish detergent, all you had to do was put one or two little drops of Joy in the water. And it'd bubble way up and you'd have plenty of cleaning power. And, you know, in our lives, it just takes a little bit of the Joy in situation where there's something dirty or something that needs to be cleaned. And you know what? God will let the bubbles bubble up and begin to take care of it. But anyway, here's what it says here. I'm going to read it again. "Blessed is the people that know the joyful sound. They shall walk, O Lord, in the light of thy countenance. In thy name shall they rejoice all day, and in thy righteousness shall they be exalted. For thou art the glory of their strength, and in thy favor our horns shall be exalted. For the Lord is our defense, the Holy One of Israel is our King." And I love that little portion of Scripture because it says a whole lot in there. You know, "In thy name they shall rejoice all the day, and in thy righteousness shall they be exalted." You know, our righteousness is not something that we have of our own. It's an imparted righteousness from God. And if we'll rejoice in Him all day long, His righteousness will spring up anew in us every day. And His righteousness will cause us to be exalted because we're exalting Him. And, you know, it says, "For thou art the glory of their strength, and in thy favor our horns shall be exalted. For the Lord is our defense, the Holy One of Israel is our King." You know, there was an elementary teacher by the name of Phyllis Martin. And this teacher told this story that happened in the spring of 2000. And here's what she said. She said, "Storm clouds and strong gusts of wind had come up suddenly over Columbus, Ohio." So it was actually right here in Ohio. The Alpine Elementary School radio blared tornado warnings. It was too dangerous to send the children home. Instead, they were taken to the basement, where the children huddled together in fear. We teachers were worried too. To help ease the tension, the principal suggested a sing-along, but the voices were weak and unenthusiastic. Child after child began to cry. We could not calm them. Then a teacher whose faith seemed equal to any emergency whispered to the child closest to her, "Aren't you forgetting something, Kathy? There's a power greater than the storm that will protect us. Just say to yourself, God is with us." Then pass the words on to the child next to you. As the words were whispered from child to child, a sense of peace settled over the group. I could hear the wind outside still blowing with the same ferocity of the moment before, but it didn't seem to matter now. Inside, fear subsided and tears faded away. Then the all-clear signal came over the radio sometime later. Students and staff returned to the classroom without the usual jostling and talking, and weren't pushing each other and stuff. There was a calm and a peace that settled in there. You know, and I just want you to know, sometimes in the midst of tribulation, in the midst of trials, in the midst of problems, we forget to acknowledge God. He's the God of the storms. He's the God of the universe. He's the God of everything. And I don't care what's happening or what situation you're in, He is God. And if you will acknowledge Him as God, and if you will even praise Him, then you'll find that the peace of God will settle in on you. And when I say settle in, it's really settling up from in you, because it's Christ in you, the hope of glory. It feels like it's coming down sometimes, but it's really coming up inside of you. And anyway, I'm going to go back and read you that first verse in Psalms 81, 15 through 18. And this is out of the Message Bible. And listen to this. I kind of like this. I think it's pretty good. Blessed are the people who know the password of praise. I like that. Password. You know, when you say the password, guess what? I love that old Arabian, you know, movie. It used to be Arabian Nights or whatever it was. And that criminal, he would come up to the cave. And if he said the password, the door would open. And the password was open sesame. I mean, you all probably heard, everybody's probably heard that at one time or another. But let me tell you what, the password when it comes to God is praising Him, acknowledging Him, lifting and magnifying Him. But I'm going to read that to you. Blessed are the people who know the password of praise, who shout on prelude in the bright presence of our God. In other words, they really break forth in praise. And that's what we need to do in all situations and all circumstances. Now, my other scripture here is Psalm 107, 29 and 32. And I told you the story about the kids in the storm. He makes the storm a calm so that the waves thereof are still. Then they are glad because they be quiet. So He bringeth them into the desired haven. Oh, that men would praise the Lord for His goodness and for His wonderful works to the children of men. Let them exalt Him also in the congregation of the people and praise Him in the assembly of the elders. You know, I just want to tell you, I know in past years, especially when we were down at the other church, you know, down in Elmwood, I don't know how many times there was prophetic words that came forth about praising the Lord, you know. And sometimes we're a little bit neglectful to praise Him, you know. And we forget that praise opens the door. He inhabits the praises of His saints. And when we praise Him, it opens up a atmosphere of God being present in that situation. You know, and one of the other things that I've gotten written down here, and that song came to me, Standing on the Promises. You know, we used to sing a lot of those old songs, Standing on the Promises of God, you know. And I'm going to read you the words of it, and most of you probably already know it. Standing on the promises of Christ my King, through eternal ages let His praises ring. Glory in the highest, I will shout and sing, standing on the promises of God. Standing, standing, standing on the promises of God my Savior, standing, standing, I'm standing on the promises of God. Standing on the promises that cannot fail, when the howling storms of doubt and fear assail, by the living Word of God I shall prevail, standing on the promises of God. Standing on the promises, I now can see perfect present cleansing in the blood for me. Standing in the liberty where Christ made free, standing on the promises of God. Standing on the promises of Christ the Lord, bound to Him to His eternal by His love and strong cord, overcoming daily with the Spirit's sword, standing on the promises of God. Standing on the promises, I cannot fail, listening every moment to the Spirit's call, resting in my Savior as my all in all, standing on the promises of God. And then, you know, this Lord gave me this poem years ago, and it's supposed to be a song, but I don't know how to sing it, so the Lord never did give me any music for it yet. But I'm going to read the words to you, and it's called Jesus. When your life is full of turmoil and you know not where to go, when it seems you've lost all promise, there's just one thing you should know. There's someone who loves you just the way you are, and He'll never, ever leave you, or He's never very far. He's as close as a whisper or even a silent prayer, and His presence will calm the raging storm and free you from despair. When you speak the name of Jesus, all heaven is on your side. When you speak the name of Jesus, your problems cannot abide. They must bow to the beauty and the power of that name, for there's no other given, and it always remains the same. Jesus, the name above all names. Jesus, every day the same. Jesus, the love of God revealed. Jesus, where broken lives are healed. Praise God. Well, that's all I had to share with you today, and I told you it was going to be kind of short, and that's what it is. Go ahead, Clyde. Let me come down if you're going to say something. Here, hang on just a second.